Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
This started out as, I guess, wishful thinking by Skip Bayless. And I'm not saying he's the only one that threw this out there. But now it really seems like there is traction here. Could Tom Brady wind up, forget Tennessee, forget Indianapolis, forget the Chargers? The latest scuttlebutt is that Tom Brady could wind up with the San Francisco 49ers. Tom Curran, who is as plugged in on this story as anybody, has said this.
How do you think this plays out? What's your prediction? Where's Tom Brady going to sign? Where is he going to play football next year?
50-50. It's either going to be New England or Tennessee, with the 49ers closing hard on the outside.
So you think the 49ers conversation is real?
I do.
You think that's from Tom, or do you think that's from San Francisco?
I think it's from both. I think that there is an appeal. What's interesting about that is the Patriots sent Jimmy Garoppolo out there for such short collateral that could Belichick say, hey, why don't you just sign this guy when he comes available for 2 years? I'll take Jimmy back. He'll get you the Super Bowl that you probably could have had this year if you had Brady. We'll start fresh. It would be interesting to me to find out whether or not that had happened.
Wow. Wow.
So, I don't mean to cut you off, Chris. I like this idea that a Boston writer is saying the Super Bowl you could have had. You weren't covering the 49ers all year. And Tom Curran, like you said, is as plugged in as anybody on the Patriots beat. I'm not discrediting him at all. But to just loosely throw out there that if Tom Brady had been there instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, that a Super Bowl was guaranteed, that feels a little much to me. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, do you think Brady makes that throw to Emmanuel Sanders?
He missed a lot of throws this year.
He did, but do you think he makes that throw? Yes, you do.
Probably,
okay.
Yes.
Then they win the Super Bowl. I'm with you on it. I think Garoppolo is getting a bad rap. Garoppolo is a great, very good, I'm not going to say great, very good quarterback, and he's young and learning. I know he's, 28, 29? But in terms of actual experience, he's young and he's very good, and his winning – people like the 49ers, we saw them last year without Garoppolo. I know they didn't have Nick Bosa and some other guys, but still, to act like Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been very good for the 49ers, I think is ridiculous.
Well, how did they get Nick Bosa? It's because they were so bad without Jimmy Garoppolo that they ended up with the second overall pick. And so when I look at the things that plague the 49ers, they don't really have many weaknesses. They were probably the most complete team in the NFL this year. But I don't sit there and say that a quarterback upgrade is needed, right? Like, you look at certain teams, the Chicago Bears, a quarterback upgrade is needed, and if that happens, that's potentially a Super Bowl caliber team. I don't feel that way with the 49ers. What I saw with the 49ers was a complete team. Jimmy Garoppolo won in New Orleans. Jimmy Garoppolo won in Seattle. There were a number of different games where he was excellent, where he carried them. I know he didn't do a ton in the playoffs, but I look at that team they don't feel to me like they need a quarterback. If anything, to go back to the Super Bowl, let's never forget they gave up 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter.
No, I agree with you. And for the record, Garoppolo is 21-5 as a starter. Now, remember, he went to a 49ers team that was horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. And immediately wins 5 straight games. What were they? Were they 1-9, I believe? Check that out, Rob G. I think they were 1-9 when he gets there. And then he wins 5 straight games.
Yep.
All right, with a team that wasn't good at all. So this notion that, oh, they won in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo is ridiculous. And here's the deal. If I'm New England, I'm doing this. If I'm Tom Brady, I'm welcoming this. Because I got George Kittle who can be my – they were 1-10. So I got George Kittle who could be my Rob Gronkowski. Debo Samuel, Emmanuel Stewart or Emmanuel Sanders. They got very good receivers, a great running game, a great defense. I mean, I'm with you in that if I'm San Francisco, I don't think I need an upgrade to win the Super Bowl. However, I'll take an upgrade.
Okay. You know,
and I'm not as much as I like Garoppolo. Here's the thing. If I'm San Francisco and I make this trade, I definitely feel like I've got a better chance of winning the Super Bowl next year than I do right now. Because here's the thing, Aaron. Are we as good as San Francisco is? This is the NFL. It is a league where we see teams go from worst to first. I mean, the Rams made the Super Bowl and didn't even make the playoffs the next year. So we saw Carolina do the same thing. This is a win-now league, and even though San Francisco is one of the most storied franchises in the NFL, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 1994. So if they can get that Super Bowl immediately, I think you take it. With the quarterbacks coming out of college now, you know this, you cover college, I don't think it takes as long to find that really good quarterback as it used to, or I don't think it will take as long as it used to take because these guys are coming out so prepared.
So I don't disagree with anything you said, but my very simple question is this. If the 49ers get one stop in the fourth quarter and they win the Super Bowl, are we having this conversation?
Of course not.
So then, you know, to me, this is a complete overreaction. I feel like see it a lot in the NBA. We got a bunch of games on here in the Fox Sports Radio studios where something goes wrong, you overreact, you got to make a move, and sometimes like holding serve is fine. Now I understand what you're saying. Every year is different. They play in the toughest division in the NFL. The Seattle's not going anywhere. The Rams aren't going anywhere. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals are coming up, but I just think you make one play on defense, you win the Super Bowl, and nobody is having this conversation. This feels like I don't discredit them for kicking the tires on this, but this feels like a complete overreaction when they were literally a play or two away from winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I think, and the point I'm trying to make, as much as I think they would be better next year with Tom Brady, I'm with you in that if I'm San Francisco, I'm not doing this deal because I do have Garoppolo. He's young. He's my quarterback. Now, again, I threw it out. I wouldn't think it was the worst move in the world.
Yeah.
Because I think I've got basically 2 years of Tom Brady. It could be Denver and Peyton Manning. I mean, you got, 4 years, I think, out of Manning. The last one, he was horrible. He was good for three. But they got a Super Bowl. And I guess you could look at Denver and say, yeah, now look at them. And they can't get a quarterback.
But
they can't find a quarterback. But it was worth it. But you make a – you're right. And if I'm New England, I do it. If I'm Brady, I love it. He's from that area. Yeah. But if I'm San Francisco, I'm tempted. But I would hold off and not do it.
See, and that's my thing. And so, you know, you're looking at me right now. I got this new ring on my finger. Just because me and my wife get in a fight –
interesting does, ring too.
It's a little. It's the little cheap one. This is a separate conversation. I wear it in case I take it off. You know, when I'm washing my hands or something. But the only point I was going to make was when me and my wife get in a fight, we don't run to the divorce lawyer. You work Good. Through it, and one issue does not make a whatever. Does not make a divorce. And I just don't think that one bad quarter of a 20-game, 19-game season means that you got to completely blow it up and start.
Has your wife ever had a 9-minute stretch as bad as Jimmy Garoppolo, though?
She's had some bad moments. Yeah, you know, I mean,
I hope she's not listening.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we're like the odd couple at home, but I'm more the Chris Broussard in that I win all the arguments. And you know, I'm kidding.
No,
she wouldn't like hearing that.
You're right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Big game, Aaron, coming up tonight. The Dallas Mavericks, who have been one of the big surprises in the NBA thus far this season, having a great season behind Luka Doncic, their phenomenal second-year player, and the New Orleans Pelicans, who are the cat's meow right now because of Zion Williamson. They play on ESPN at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. Can't wait to watch this one tonight. And I got something to throw out at you because these are two huge stars. I call Luka Doncic Luka Legend after Larry Legend.
Sure.
I think now it remains to be seen, obviously, will he be able to lead teams to championships? But one reason I call him Luka Legend, like Larry Bird, I've compared him to Bird. Their games are a little different. But although Bird was a tremendous passer, Luka's a very good passer. Bird was a tremendous shooter. Luka's a pretty good shooter. Bird had handle. Luka's got handle. Both playmakers, neither greatly athletic. So there are some similarities, but I put it out there. You know, we don't need to mince words. Larry Bird was the last white player in the NBA who was arguably the best player in the world.
Sure.
I think Luka, now, would I take Giannis over him going forward? Yes. But Luka's going to be in that conversation for is he the best player in the world? And I think that's great. And so I think that's why one reason I like to compare him to Larry Bird. But here's what I'm going to throw out at you. If you, going forward, Luka's 21, Zion's 19. If you're starting a team, which player would you pick, Zion or Luka?
So I would take Luka. And there's no disrespect to Zion, right? Like when we do this, it sounds like you're taking a shot at the other guy. You know, my big thing with Zion, I love him. You know I'm a college hoops guy. Yep. Loved him at Duke. But he has now had three injuries ranging from nagging to pretty serious in a one-year period. And I just look at him, and it's very simply, no one's questioning his skill, his athleticism. We have never seen a guy at his weight, at his height, play 82 games in an NBA season for one season, let alone for the 10, 12, 15 years that we hope to see him in the NBA. And it is a concern. You can say, well, you know, he's 19 and it's like, until I see him out there 82 games every year, it will be a concern.
We haven't seen him play 3 or 4 months straight.
Yes.
Let's keep it real. And I'm, look, we're not saying we expect Zion to get hurt. Obviously, we don't want him to get hurt. But yeah, that's a concern. Because of that health concern, the obvious choice has to be Luka Doncic. And with that weight, like Larry Johnson, now he wasn't as nobody's been as explosive as Zion. But Larry Johnson was an undersized post player who had explosion, who was similar to Zion, killing people on the block, killing bigger guys on the block, and eventually his back went out battling against those heavier players. Now, they don't have the heavier players like that for Zion to bang against, so that's a good sign. But also as far as the torque, Derrick Rose, not nearly as big as Zion, but just the fact that he has such explosion, he couldn't even handle that at his size before his knees went out. And so we hope this doesn't go that way with Zion. But that is, if I'm starting a team, that's a concern. But I'm going to throw it at you this way. Let's take out the injury concern. If I tell you both of these guys are going to be healthy for the next 12 years. Now, I do think Luka ages much better than Zion. At Zion, give him the benefit of the doubt, he's going to add a better jump shot. He's going to get more of a perimeter game. I know he's got some skills. He can handle it fairly well. He can pass the ball. He's got some vision. But there's no doubt Luka, because Luka's not that athletic now.
Yeah.
He's going to age better. But there is something I like about Zion that does make me think I might, even though Luka, I think Luka's just flat out better.
Sure.
But there are reasons that I would say, you know what? I might take Zion. If I know both of them are going to be healthy, there are reasons I'll give you that I might take Zion over Luka. And this is really what it is. I absolutely love the fact that Zion Williamson can give me 25 or more points every night without having to have plays running for him, without dominating the basketball. What that tells me is that it's easier for me to fit players around him because he's not ball dominant.
But couldn't you argue that it's easier to fit players around Luka because he's ball dominant, because then
just
it becomes
spot up shooters.
Yeah,
right?
It reminds me of, and it's not a perfect apples to apples comparison, and I'm not saying he's the same player, but in when LeBron got back to Cleveland, right, and when LeBron got to the Lakers, it was pretty clear how you build a team around LeBron to have peak maximum success. It's a bunch of shooters, it's a stretch five, whatever. But the Lakers did a good job of it, and the Cavs, when they won the championship, now the second year, the last year, excuse me, it wasn't as good. But I just feel like, I actually feel like it's easier to build a team around Luka, just knowing, okay, the ball's always going to be in his hands, but now you start fitting the puzzle pieces, where Zion, you almost have to find that second puzzle piece to make sure that they can get him the ball when he's not getting all those offensive rebounds.
I agree that with Zion, I definitely need another star, or maybe two.
Yeah.
But that, like, Brandon Ingram, is he a star? He made the All-Star team. I wouldn't call him a star yet. I think he's budding and building into that. But they can play together. Ingram has to have the ball in his hands to some degree. I wouldn't go as far as to call him ball dominant, but he needs to have the ball. He and Luka can fit Zion can fit because Zion doesn't have to have the ball. Lonzo's my point guard. Drew Holiday fits. Like, these are four guys with star potential,
yep,
that can play together. With LeBron, and I think it is a fair comparison because Luka does somewhat play like LeBron, I think we could throw James Harden in there. It's harder for stars. Now, you're right. If I've got one of those three, I can say, just give me some spot-up shooters. LeBron, Luka, Harden, they're going to create everything for those spot-up shooters. Here's the challenge, though. It's harder, like, for stars to play with them. LeBron's been able to play with one star. That third star has trouble because Kevin Love, Chris Bosh, because LeBron is ball dominant, there's one other guy that can get his, and then the rest of them, here's the other thing. Those guys, LeBron, Luka, Harden, they create everything for their team.
You're right.
And while that is because LeBron's so good, that's going to make my team really good. But he's running the problems when he faces a team.
Sure.
Golden State, San Antonio, that's talented but plays five-player basketball.
See, and that was – as I was making my own argument, I was starting to think about it. And the argument against my argument, which is that I would take Luka, is that – he kind of has to be the star because
no doubt.
Yeah, you're asking somebody to come in and play off the ball. And as we get to the way the NBA is, where more and more guys, it's a smaller sport, it's a more spaced out sport. It's going to be harder to find that second guy because most of the stars coming up, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, whether you think he's a star or not, top three pick, they're guys that have to have the ball in his hand. So
right.
I guess now that I think about it, my counter to my own argument is I better be darn sure that Luka can be the best player on a championship team because I don't know that I'm going to get anybody at his skill level to play off the ball with him.
No, that's a great point because you mentioned it. Okay, could Ja Morant and Luka play together?
They wouldn't be very good.
It wouldn't, right. Yeah. One of them's got to just step back and not be his full expression of himself. Yep. Whereas with Zion, and I've said, for all his uniqueness, because we've never seen a guy that big, that explosive, for all of that, though, he's a throwback. And yes, number one, he plays in the post. And number two, he does, like, that back in the day, guys did not over-dribble and dominate the ball.
Sure.
Even Michael Jordan, who shot a ton. I mean, one year, Jordan averaged 27 shots a game.
Yep.
He shot it a lot, but he didn't just sit there and pound it for 15 seconds.
Yep.
You know, he would two-dribble pull up. You know, everything was with a purpose. Magic didn't over-dribble. He got rid of the ball quickly. So I think Charles Barkley, I mean, all these guys, they didn't – it was, like, more efficient. I get the ball, I'm making my move, or I'm passing it and the ball is moving. I love that about Zion, and I think that makes it easier. Like, Magic, Kareem, and Worthy had no problem playing together.
Yep.
Because the ball was moving, nobody dominated it all the time. And now Luka, Harden, LeBron, even Chris Paul, he's a point guard, so maybe a little different, but Steve Nash dominated the ball. Like, Dwayne Wade, so many of the players today dominate the ball that it makes it hard for another star that can really do his own thing.
That's a great point.
It can make it a little more challenging to fit together. So look at Golden State. Is Steph Curry really, historically he'll go down as better, but individually, is he really better than James Harden? Individually?
He's got a thing, right? Like the 3-point shoot. I mean, he changed the game.
He changed the game.
But yeah, no,
but
listen.
When he really took off was when Steve Kerr changed the system, and it wasn't, Steph ran the high pick and roll like everybody else under Mark Jackson and was really good, but he wasn't changing the game and turning, you know, the league upside down.
And I was going to say, not only that, but in the games that mattered, 2015 finals, Andre Iguodala MVP, 2016 finals, they don't win, 2017, it's KD. I know that's Rob Parker's point that he always brings up, but it is a fair point. Like Steph is a great story. He's been fun to follow, and he did change the game, but that doesn't make him the best player of his era or even necessarily one of the two or three best.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
One of the big stories that came out this week is that the Cleveland Browns, apparently, it's really, I got to be fair. This isn't a report. This is some sports writers talking.
Yep.
And a couple of them saying, if the Browns were blown away with a trade offer for Odell Beckham Jr., they think they would move him, which is, of course,
literally every player in the league, except for like one or two.
Right. Except for Pat Mahomes. There is nobody, no offer that I'm trading Pat Mahomes for. Now, here's what I want to throw out to you, though, Aaron. What about Lamar Jackson? Other than Pat Mahomes, if you take Pat Mahomes out of it, is there anyone you would trade for Lamar Jackson, if you're the Ravens?
See, I don't think there is.
Or any offer.
Because you've built the perfect system. First of all, 23-year-old MVP, okay? Let's just put that on the table right now.
Right.
And you've built the perfect system around him. And you have the best record in the
13,
AFC.
14?
I think 14-2.
14-2,
yeah. Yeah, they won the AFC. And so, to me, I don't think there is anything you could offer for Lamar Jackson, because what are you going to get back that is going to
I got a good one for you.
Uh-oh,
and it's actually the other guy that we, because I'm with you generally, but we felt there were basically three guys that were untradeable.
I know what you're going to say. It's going to drive me crazy.
Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson. If Seattle comes to you and you're Jim Harbaugh and they offer you Russell Wilson.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to be honest. I'm probably doing that. Rob G, get in this. I'm probably doing that.
I'd probably have to, because Russell Wilson is so good with nothing around him in Seattle. So now you add the running game and the tight ends and all the things that Baltimore has going. Ooh. But then again, it's what we're saying with Jimmy G. You're just blowing it up for the sake of blowing it up.
Well,
but
I don't think you're blowing it up. And here's the thing. I know how Russell's going to age, like fine wine.
Yep.
I think Lamar may be great for the next 4 years, three, 4 years. I don't know how he's going to age. I love his work ethic, his leadership, and I think he's going to work hard at passing so he can continue to improve in that.
Nobody cares work hard.
But I don't. Once that speed is gone,
it doesn't take
much. People are like, well, he's always going to be fat. No, we're talking about world-class athletes. When he loses a tenth of a second on his 40, he's not going to be running like this.
Yep.
And so is he going to be, you know, what he is now? As much as I love Lamar, it hasn't been proven that he can do it in the playoffs, and he's young.
Yep.
I think I would do Russell for him.
I think so, too. The thing you got to keep in mind with Russell Wilson, though, he's 30 years old.
Yeah, he's older.
Yeah, that's not, you know.
And everybody's not going to be Tom Brady.
Exactly. And so, and he plays a little bit more of a physical style. He runs more, slides more. He never gets hit. Oh, man, if I'm the Ravens and they call and offer me Russell Wilson, I do think I would take it. I really do, because I think that if you're built, if I need to win a big game tomorrow, Russell Wilson is right behind Patrick
Mahomes. No question.
He doesn't have the physical skills, but, man, does he have it up top.
Rob G, where you at on this? We were talking about this in the meeting, but that's I think I'm with Aaron. If I'm Jim Harbaugh and they offer me Russell Wilson for Lamar, as much as I love Lamar, I probably do it.
Well, I disagree with both of you guys where I said I would trade Lamar. Like I said, if Miami had offered me, you know, two first and one of them was the pick this year, where I could get like a Tua and I didn't have to have such a specialized offense where in the event Lamar gets hurt, because he's going to get nicked up at some point, even if it's not a season injury, he's going to get a sprained ankle or something like that. You don't have to have a specific offense for some of these other guys.
You're a Raiders fan though, right? So your viewpoint is nullified. He doesn't know about quarterbacking. Right? He don't know about football. I mean, he... Yeah. So, I mean, really, really?
A lot of
I'm sorry. I'm not trading Lamar for two firsts. I'm sorry.
Two seconds?
I'm not.
The RG33 first pick?
Because a lot of these first and second rounders don't pan out. They're okay. Some of them are great. Some of them are okay. Some of them aren't.